Good morning and welcome to St. Luke's Church. Thank you for gathering with us today to make Eucharist.
As you are able, please stand and join us in singing Creator Spirit as found in your bulletin.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Lord, Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whom truly to know is everlasting life, grant us so perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of the Lord.
My praises are being in the great assembly.
A reading from the first letter of John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The word of the Lord.
Let us attend to the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. I come to you this morning as a missioner from about an hour north of here. I serve Holy Spirit Episcopal Church, which was a mission of the diocese 15 years ago and is headed towards parish status this convention, hopefully, as priest in charge, and am the ministry developer at Plainsong Farm in Rockford, Michigan. And this morning I have for you a combination of a sermon and some personal testimony. So I hope that you will bear with me in that as together we listen for where God is leading all of us on our journey together as the body of Christ. And it is a journey. The Lord took Philip to a wilderness road in the story we hear from Acts this morning. The Lord took Philip to a wilderness road to proclaim the good news about Jesus Christ, and to welcome the Ethiopian eunuch into the body of Christ through baptism. That story that we heard this morning, the story from Acts 8, resonates with me because I know something about the wilderness roads where God leads us for the sake of the good news of God's love. I first told people that God was calling me to begin a ministry called Plainsong Farm. Plainsong, by the way, is what we just did when we sang the psalm, Anglican chant, just making sure we're all on that page. I first told people that God was calling me to begin a ministry called Plainsong Farm in 2008, 10 years ago. In those days, and still often today, nobody expected God to call a clergy person to found a farm. The few people that I was bold enough to tell looked at me like I was probably crazy. I didn't want people to think I was crazy, so unlike Philip, it took me a long time to get started. But the angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go," and Philip indeed got up and went, and I'm a witness to the fact that it still works that way. By 2014, every time I prayed, I could not get away from God telling me, Plainsong Farm, Plainsong Farm, Plainsong Farm. And that prayer and my experience in prayer is honestly why we began. And yes, it does mean that it did take me 6 years to do what it took Philip only 6 seconds to do. But the irony of the story that we read from Acts this morning is that Philip wasn't supposed to be a preacher and teacher of the gospel, just any more than I was supposed to be a founder of a farm ministry. The context of our story from Acts 8 is the growth of the early church. So many people were coming to trust in the name of Jesus that the apostles were a little overwhelmed. They wanted to make sure that every member of Christ's body who needed food was fed. They had a distribution of food to any who had need. But the 12 apostles couldn't keep up with all the work. There was a lot to do to teach about Jesus, and there was a lot to do to distribute food. So they chose 7 people from among those who were gathered to be in charge of the food distribution. One of them was Philip, whose story we heard this morning. Another was Stephen. In Acts chapter 6, both of them are empowered by the church specifically for food ministry. Well, what happens next? The people who are supposed to be focused on food ministry are actually talking about Jesus. All of Acts chapter 7 is a sermon by Stephen, one of those first 7 deacons. In it, this sermon rocks the establishment so much that at the end of it, he is stoned to death. And still the church keeps on teaching. In Acts chapter 8, as we read today, Philip teaches about Jesus and does a baptism. Philip and Stephen were expected to deliver food, but instead they are preaching and teaching because those two things go together. And as Acts continues, Peter... We remember Peter, right? Rock of the church, cornerstone, all of that. He was supposed to be preaching and teaching, but he receives a revelation from the Lord a little later in the book of Acts. Anybody remember what his revelation is about? Food. It's about what we eat and who it's okay to eat with. This business of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ and how we eat are bound up together. It's true for the first disciples whose stories we read in Acts, and it's true for us today as we gather to hear God's word and to be nourished by the presence of Christ in the Holy Sacrament. But a lot of the time, we forget, or we don't pay attention, or we get distracted. We forget that when Jesus came teaching and preaching and healing, the metaphors he used for our life in him were in many cases agricultural. I am the vine and you are the branches refers to a tangible reality. Folks up in Traverse City, in the wine growing region, know it well. Grape growers know exactly what that story teaches. And Jesus taught us about the kingdom of God by talking about things like wild yeast and bread dough, by sharing about sowers who go out with seeds. Apart from an agricultural worldview, it's hard to understand the teachings of Jesus. And most of us these days are apart from that agricultural worldview. In 2017, farmers were a whole 2% of the United States population. And even that number is deceiving because agriculture today is very different from what it was in Jesus' time. That doesn't mean Jesus' words aren't relevant. It makes them even more relevant because they are meant to wake us up to the fact that we are out of touch with the place God made humanity to tend. This garden planet that we didn't make, that we alone cannot sustain. The church teaches that all creation began in and through Jesus Christ, and that when we are baptized, we are made one with Jesus Christ through the grace and mercy of God. Yet as I go about my day-to-day life, a lot of the time I am one or two steps removed from direct relationship to the world that God created. I interact with a screen. It was made partly from minerals mined from somewhere on the planet, but I don't know where they came from. I don't know whose lives were changed by how they were extracted from the ground. A lot of the times, especially in Michigan in the winter, my food comes wrapped in packages, bought in a supermarket that I shop in without a window even onto seeing the outside world. And a lot of the times we find ourselves interacting with each other not as fellow children of God in God's world, but in roles shaped by our place in a political and financial economy, an economy that isn't founded on reverence. And in the midst of all that, the Lord God calls us to love. God comes to us in Jesus Christ to show us what love looks like in the flesh, flesh like what we inhabit. And God, the Holy Spirit, abides in us to empower us to love beyond our own limited human capacity. God is love. And when we love, we abide in God, and God abides in us. Dostoevsky wrote, and Dorothy Day often quoted, "Love in action is a harsh and dreadful thing compared to love in dreams." Love in dreams, the kind of love we fantasize about with little gauzy edges, love in dreams doesn't ask anything of us. Love in dreams doesn't require anything of us. Love in dreams looks easy. But as any of the parents here can attest, love in dreams and all that gauzy stuff, that's not real love. Real love requires sacrifice and care, devotion and commitment. Love in dreams is a lie. Real love requires action. And love in action is what Philip had on his way to meet the Ethiopian eunuch. It is a harsh and dreadful thing to go where God leads you when you do not see the path. Last month, it hit me that between beginning Plainsong Farm and now, a lot of the time, I had felt like I was walking uphill, backwards, in a forest, against the wind, in the dark. There are no manuals for starting farm-based ministry, and I can tell you for sure they do not teach you how to do it when you go to seminary. I am a planner and an organizer, but for Plainsong Farm, I could not have a plan. I do not like to take risks, but Plainsong Farm required risks. I like to be in charge of my own decisions, but for Plainsong Farm, I had to let go of that. And there's nothing special about starting Plainsong Farm that makes any of that true. If you've accompanied a loved one on an illness journey or as they've died, you understand the unknown journey that every step is. It's our human journey. We call it life. Every day in this process, I had to take a step forward without knowing exactly where it would lead and trust that my journey was for the glory of God, even if it ended in failure. And a lot of the time, failure is exactly what I expected, which is a confession of sin. But when you preach, you have to tell the truth. And the truth is, I never expected that it would work out that 3 years after we began, I would get to stand at St. Luke's Church in Kalamazoo and talk about Plainsong Farm as a real mission of our diocese. That is due to the work of the Lord. And it is due to the fact that a few of us signed up for Love in Action. And the reason we did is because Love in Action is what we received from Jesus Christ, who was killed for our sake, and who for our sake rose again from the dead. Love in Action is simply what we give to God in return for all that God has given to us. And we can give our whole lives, day by day, and still never be able to return to God the extraordinary measure of love that we have received. Today, we tell the stories about Jesus in safe, beautiful rooms. Rooms with stained glass windows and gold fixtures and glorious vestments. I am grateful for rooms like these, because in rooms like these, this is where I first heard about Jesus, from people who wore clothes like this. But we also must never forget that the first people who told the first stories about Jesus risked their lives to say his name. We cannot forget that they were farmers and fishermen and carpenters, people whose hands touched soil and water and trees, the creation that God made every single day. In a world growing ever warmer through our fault, it is past time for us to wake up to our place in creation. And I believe God called Plainsong Farm into being as a ministry of God for the church for that reason, to help us wake up. As God calls us forward on that journey, we will be led by a wilderness road. The good news is that Jesus Christ has already traveled that road. And as we abide in him, wherever we are always already at home. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
As you are able, please stand and face east, the direction of sunrise and a symbol of the resurrection, as we recite the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father,
God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit, and became to Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Beloved God, Father and Mother of all, we rejoice in springtime renewal and in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We recognize that Christ lived and ministered, died and rose in similar times to ours. We are grateful that through him, in the unifying love of the Holy Spirit, you welcome us into your divine life.
We give thanks and praise for your everlasting love.
We pray that we may all express the wisdom, kindness, and gracious ability to be helpful to others in every reasonable way. May we all become living examples of the grace you have brought to humankind.
Thanks and praise for your everlasting love.
We pray for the rulers of all nations, especially Donald, our president, together with the legislative and judicial branches of our government, and ask that they make wise, compassionate choices to benefit the entire world, all people, creatures, and the environment.
We give thanks and praise for your everlasting love.
We pray for leaders of all faiths and for communities and families, that we might speak kindly with one another and recognize our common humanity. We also pray for Michael, our presiding bishop, and Wayne, our bishop, for Randall, our priest, Greg, our deacon, Nuria, our guest priest, and Michael in deacon's formation.
We give thanks and praise for your everlasting love.
We rejoice with those celebrating birthdays this week: Maddie, Ryan, London, David, Dolores, Gus, Rosemary, Ed, Ava, and Lena. And with those celebrating wedding anniversaries this week: Ken and Janet, Richard and Mary, Linda and Larry, Randy and Amy. And those celebrating baptismal anniversaries this week: Randy, Ginny, Kathy, Al, and Pam.
Thanks and praise for your everlasting love.
We pray for all those who's suffering in the world, for those who are sick, for those who are addicted, and for those who are dying, remembering especially Mike, Elizabeth, Bob, Michael, James, Larry, Stephen, Ruthie, Linda, Patrick, George, Hope, Dan, Charlotte, Al, Christine, Rusty, Kathy, and those affected by natural disasters.
We thank you and trust in your everlasting love.
We pray for peace and its advocates. We also ask for the protection of those who serve in the armed forces, particularly Stephen, Courtney, James, Joe, Nathan, and Sarah.
We thank you and trust in your everlasting love.
We pray for those who have died and for their families, especially Dan, Jamal, Neil, Nick, Anna, James, and Stephanie.
We thank you and trust in your everlasting love.
We ask for the protection and guidance of all those who have realized your constant presence with them, all the holy angels and saints, particularly Sarah, Athanasius, and Monica, whom we commemorate this week. Help us heed them and become more like them, thus celebrating your wisdom and love in ever-increasing glory.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you. The Lord redeems your life from the grave and crowns you with mercy and loving kindness. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right give God thanks and praise.
Holy mystery that is holy love, you are beyond complete knowledge, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Source of life, living word, and bond of love, You are creative and self-giving, generously moving in all the near and distant corners of the universe. Nothing exists that does not find its source in you. Through fear-filled days and aching nights, when the powers of death had done their worst, your love has never deserted us. Even when we turn away from you, you are with us. Your presence never fails us. Your gifts of hope and new life transform us. We praise you for Jesus Christ, risen to life eternal as your love. With the women at the tomb, we raise the strain of gladness. Alleluia, life is stronger than death. The day of resurrection has come, scattering fear and gloom. And so we rejoice with all your people of every time and place, and with angels and archangels, proclaim the glory of your name. It is Jesus, God incarnate, the risen Christ, who joins us together as a community of broken but hopeful believers, loving what he loved, living what he taught, and striving to be his faithful servants in our time and place. In this meal, we remember Jesus, his promises, and the price he paid for who he was, what he said, and what he did. On the night before he died for us, our Savior Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." We now celebrate, O God, the memorial of Christ, our Savior. We remember his life of love, his friendship, his teaching, his dying and rising to life again. We call on you to transform these familiar things as you continually transform the world around us. Bless the wheat and the grape, the farmer and the harvest, the seed and the sower. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that they may be to us the body and blood of your Christ. Giver of life, draw us together in the body of Christ, and in the fullness of time, gather us with Blessed Mary, the God-bearer, and all your people into the joy of our true eternal home. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever. Amen.
As our Savior Christ has taught us, we now pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Art and Linda, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the precious body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. We who are many are one body, because we all share in one bread and one cup.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work according to his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us forever. Amen.
Thank you.
let us go forth in the name of Christ. Alleluia. Alleluia.